Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 36, not so newly married. And all I keep hearing is, are you pregnant yet? Or you're trying though, aren't you? Or you don't want to leave it too long, you know? Yeah, I do know, thanks. But what I didn't know was if I actually wanted a baby. So I did a whole podcast on the Secret Recordings Network where I chatted to new mums, non-mums, baby wanters, baby rejectors to figure out whether to baby or not to baby. And I was joined on this journey by my sister and best friend Camilla, and would you look who it is?
I'm still here. Not going anywhere.
The reason we're recording this joyous bonus episode is because we have news.
We certainly do.
It feels so like it's actually making me go all a bit nervous and giddy in saying this out loud in this context, but I'm pregnant.
Yes, you are! I feel nervous, actually, as well. It's really weird.
Do you know what?
I feel like we've been holding this in.
Oh, my God. I feel like I've been holding in the news for such a long time, and it's been painful. But even now, it's so weird saying out loud, I'm pregnant. Like, and even though I know that I am, and I definitely have felt very sick, and I've felt very rough, and but I still can't compute that there is an actual human growing inside me. So when I'm like, oh yeah, I'm pregnant, I'm like, oh my God, I'm pregnant.
And also, I think because you had that initial stage where you're not really supposed to tell anyone and all that stuff, it feels like a secret for so long that when you're finally allowed to say it, it's like, whoa. And obviously, we have to be a bit careful as well because of podcasters, and we didn't want to like let the cat out of the bag without telling them properly. They're our little fam now.
True. But my other thing with that is, especially in the early part of it, genuinely, I was fairly convinced that it was not going to pan out. So even to get to this point now where, again, this is what people keep telling me, you're never in that bit where you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm safe and I can relax now and everything's fine. So at the point that this podcast goes out, I'll be nearly 16 weeks pregnant. But even that is like, for ages, you don't want to talk about it because you don't want to jinx it. Or you think, oh, well, probably something's going to go wrong because I am a bit older and it happened obviously a lot quicker than we thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, even now it makes me a bit like, oh God, I hope everything's
okay.
And
I think after all the stories, you know, of that you've heard, all the people you've spoken to as well, like that is bound to always be on your mind. I was exactly the same, obviously, with what happened before having Chester and everything. I was exactly the same, I think, until I actually, like, I waited ages to buy anything just because it felt like, oh, no, I need to wait a bit longer just to make sure I'm in the safe zone. But
yeah,
all good so far, isn't it?
So far, it's all good. So the first, genuinely, the first, not really a person, but the first thing to know that I was pregnant was ASOS, because I was browsing that maternity stuff because I was like, oh my God, I've got weddings to go to. What am I going to do? I'm going to have a bump. And then obviously all the weddings have now been cancelled because lockdown. But in fact, I'm currently awaiting my delivery from ASOS of two maternity dresses that I have now purchased because the bloat is real.
How very exciting, though.
Yeah, but again, I wanted to wait until after the scan because you just think, don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, I don't think I actually bought anything until at least 16 weeks with Chester, something like that. Maybe clothes for me, nothing baby.
Yeah.
Until like probably 20 weeks maybe.
Yeah, I don't think I'll dare buy anything for the baby.
I looked at loads of stuff though. Have you looked at stuff?
Oh my God, the amount of, you know, because you get sponsored adverts, I'm like, you are watching me, you little hawk eyes. The amount of sponsored adverts that I'm getting that are just baby clothes or stuff to do with breast pads or whatever Pumping. The hell else other random pregnant people stuff must get all the time. Yeah. But I do think it's important. So potentially if you're listening and you listen to the first series of the podcast, which if you didn't listen to the first series, oh my God, go back and binge on it because it's great, even if we do say so ourselves. But it's important, I think, to talk about the fact that if you're trying to calculate it from the amount of weeks pregnant that I am, going, hang on, if she's that many weeks pregnant, when did she know she was pregnant?
And this is where I come in and go, sneaky, sneaky, sneaky sister.
Oh my God.
Because tell everyone what happened. after the recording of the last podcast that we did?
Okay, well, I feel like I need to almost go back before the last podcast that we did.
True.
So I found out I was pregnant on the 22nd of January. Now, when we'd been planning the podcast the whole way through, the plan was always that Dan, my husband, was going to be the last interview of the podcast to discuss, you know, why he, because he was always ahead of the game with me. He always definitely wanted a baby more than me sitting on the fence did. So 22nd of January, I find out I'm pregnant. I haven't recorded the interview with Dan. It's midweek. Dan is also in Bristol. And I'm thinking, right, okay, well, I don't want to ring him and tell him over the phone that I'm pregnant. And this is going to really screw up the podcast because I need to record the interview with him. So,
sorry.
So he returned home on the 24th of January, Friday. And I was like, oh, babe, I'm really sorry. I'm going out for drinks with my friends, but I'll be back later. And when I get back, let's record that podcast interview. So I had to record the entire podcast interview with Dan, knowing that I was pregnant and not being able to tell him. And so
I don't know how you did that at all.
I don't know how I did that because I don't think I've got a very good poker face, but I feel like it's worth, if you listen to that episode, go back and listen again because I can hear the nerves in my voice and the awkward twitchiness, which,
and
you
also
maybe
a bit of slight excitement, I think, as well.
It's so
at the end.
So I then recorded the interview with Dan, debated, had a massive debate about, do I tell him on the recording that I'm pregnant? Not to use in the final episode of the podcast, but just for future reference. But I did. I just wanted him to be able to react entirely normally and not feel like, oh, I have to say an answer.
I have
to say what you think I want to hear because we're recording it. So
that is when you take the podcast headmaster hat off and go, this is about us now.
Yes. And so as soon as I stopped the recording, I'd hidden a pregnancy test under the bed. And I was basically like, all of the stuff that you've just said about this, oh, you know, well, one day when it happens, it's happening because we're pregnant. And bless his wet little cotton socks, he just burst into tears and cried solidly for quite a long period of time. We just hugged and both of us were a bit freaked out by it because it did happen super quick. Yeah, but then, so obviously I hadn't told Dan. And also, dedication to the podcast, you are my best friend in the world, Camilla, and I couldn't tell you. So I had to wait until after we'd recorded all of our bits and bobs for the podcast and we got in the car afterwards.
Okay, no, so I need to tell this bit. What the hell? So we recorded the whole last podcast, by which point I already really knew that you had decided to baby.
In fact, even before we went in to record the podcast,
you are trying though, aren't you?
You are trying, aren't you? So funny.
So then we recorded the entire podcast. We got in the car and like had normal chit chat. I was like, now can we go and grab some lunch before I go and get Chester, blah, blah, blah. And got to like the first set of traffic lights and Naomi literally in this voice went, yes, I'm pregnant. I nearly jumped like through the car window. I was like, what? What?
To start with, you were like, are you taking the piss?
It's just the way you said it as well. You're just like, so I'm pregnant. Like, no. Like nothing in the voice. And I couldn't believe it. But I was kind of glad you did do it because I think I would have definitely been different in recording the last podcast. And it wouldn't have been real for the podcasters either, would it? So yeah.
Yeah.
So it was real.
So it turns out I'm dead good at keeping a dirty little secret.
Yeah, you are.
But
it's
genuinely
scary.
All those people who were like, oh, you're going to announce it in the last podcast, aren't you? I'm like, this is freaky. Like, I feel like the universe had made it happen that I was then pregnant for the last episode. Honestly, it's so weird. But even, like I say, at that stage, I kept thinking, well, yes, I'm pregnant now, but who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows how that's going to pan out? But anyway,
it was really early, wasn't it?
It was super early. And so I had my well, it was my 12-week scan. I was nearly 14 weeks when I had it. And the baby was absolutely doing the salsa and the tango at the same time. And I was having a proper dance around. And that was really like, holy shit. This is actually a live human in my body.
Oh, you wait till you feel that baby move. You will be like mind blown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
It's amazing.
Do you know what? One of the other things that I wanted to talk about, actually, which I need to say hello to a couple of people. So after the podcast finished, I had messages from two people, and I know that one of them's given me permission to read out her message. Janie Shah sent me a message. So this was sent to me on the 10th of March, obviously at which point I know I'm pregnant. Hi, honestly loved your podcast. I was completely in the same boat as you, but by the end of the series, I was like, yeah, I think I'm ready to baby too. And then I found out I was pregnant a week later. I wouldn't have been ready for this journey without your podcast, so thank you. And I was literally like, oh my God, I want to tell these people that I'm also pregnant, but I can't tell them. And
and also, how incredible that like our little podcast has made people decide whether to baby or not. I love it. I literally love it so much. You've had some amazing messages as well. I'm a bit sad that I don't get the messages.
Yeah, I want to try and find this, the other message that I got, because there was one message that I received that particularly, like, I think I cried when I got it. So this person shall remain nameless because I've not asked if I can read this message out on the podcast. But it says, hi, Naomi, I've just listened to episode 14, The Decision. I just wanted to say I was oddly so delighted to hear your decision. I too am an overthinker. I related to you so much the whole way through. I came off the pill in November and we decided to actively try not to until I decided for sure. Well, that didn't work out. I'm currently 9 weeks pregnant. Weird that I'm telling you, as none of my friends or wider family know. I'm struggling a little with the feelings that I should feel. I cried, not with happiness, when I took the test, but slowly I think I'm getting there. Your podcast definitely put a smile on my face, and it's just great hearing people who have concerns be able to still feel that excitement about it. I think that overthinkers will always be unsure about every single thing in life. My husband keeps reminding me that I cried for 2 weeks when we started living together because I missed home, lol. So I guess there's something to be said for being averse to change as well. But I think this means that we're more likely to be fully prepared for the highs and lows, and maybe they won't hit us so hard. I also think the highs could be more amazing than we ever thought. Anyway, thank you for providing me so much comfort, and I wish you every happiness in the future.
Oh, that's nice.
Honestly, I'm just like, ooh.
That is so nice. And also so nice that she's messaged you. But I do think sometimes in that situation, you feel like it's kind of okay if it's someone that you don't know.
Yeah, totally. I wanted to tell people in like shops and stuff to just practice like saying it out loud, like, hi, I'm pregnant.
Oh my God. When I was pregnant and went for my first midwife appointment, nobody knew. I'd kept it completely secret, and I was sat in the doctor's and it flashed up on the thing, Camilla Hoare, midwife.
What?
And then, yeah, exactly. Like, I know loads of people in that village, which makes me sound really like, meh.
I'm so popular around here.
I am so popular. No, but I do always bump into people there. And literally 2 seconds later, mum came in with granddad. Yeah. I had to like fob off why I was there, and luckily they had not seen the thing because I was coming out of the appointment afterwards. But it flashed up midwife, and I was like mortified.
Yeah, that is bad. They need to, dear doctor, surgeries, can you not do that to people? Many thanks.
Yeah, but you know, on that note, let's give lots of praise to anyone working in the NHS.
Big up yourselves.
Big up, because COVID-19.
Yeah, awful.
Is very real. So how do you feel about all of that with being pregnant?
Well, when I went for my scan, Dan couldn't come in with me. You weren't allowed any partners or plus ones. Now, luckily, our datings and timings were slightly out of whack. So we'd ended up going for a scan a couple of weeks before that. And they said, oh, you're too early for us to do the correct measurements and blah, blah, blah. So Dan had been able to at least be present for a scan. But this time, imagine, this is our first baby, and he's more excited than me, bless him, to not be able to be part of that. I'm hoping that, so the baby's due 2nd of October, I'm hoping that by the time we're dealing with that, which I'm very much putting off thinking about at the minute, but I'm hoping that by the time we're dealing with that, then this won't be the kind of big, scary issue that it is now. But yes. I know people who are pregnant at the minute. I know somebody who's having, she's booked in for a cesarean because her first birth was really traumatic and isn't allowed her husband there for the birth. And you just think, oh my God, that is super scary.
It's really hard. Yeah. I actually, friend of a friend has just had a baby on her own and she had to be induced. And obviously it can take quite a long time. Yeah, she had to do it on her own, first baby.
Aww.
And yeah, and I think that is super hard. There's actually a petition going around at the minute, but I signed it the other day because even someone who works as a midwife had said, if you have traumatic birth and you've got nobody with you that's kind of your person that you would go to normally if you were suffering trauma.
Yeah.
I mean, the aftermath from a traumatic birth anyway can be really difficult.
Mm.
But if you've got zero person there that's your person,
yeah,
your go-to,
yeah,
more traumatic and probably way more aftermath, which again is going to affect the NHS anyway, because, you know, you could be suffering with like post-traumatic stress, with postnatal depression. It's really hard. I get that people need to be careful and be protective and stuff, but I do think you need your person.
Well,
just one.
One of my friends, Lucy, said to me the other day, she was like, if I were pregnant now and was potentially due to have the baby, I'd be very much trying to get a home birth because at least then you can have your partner there. Obviously, that in itself is daunting and a bit scary because if anything goes wrong, then what?
Yeah, I'd be on the same page, definitely.
Yeah, tough times. Tough times.
It is. Yeah, but hopefully, like you said, by the time it comes around for giving birth, we'll all be in a better position.
Excuse me, why are you laughing so much? Is this like the time, right? Wait, do you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the time that, so I am never sick through alcohol. Like, it never happens. But on my 30th birthday, I was sick and you came down, because I was staying at the parents' house, and you came downstairs and found me in the downstairs toilet and you had the smuggest look on your face because you are the sickiest sick drunk. And you were so happy about the fact that I was like having a rough time. Is that how you feel about me having a baby and going through childbirth?
No, but I am laughing about that now because it was funny because you used to hate the fact that I am a sicky person and you used to absolutely hate it. And I just thought it was so funny. It was like, ah, you're getting it back now. Yeah. Karma. The reason I was actually laughing was more because I know you're nervous about it. So it was kind of nervous laughter for actually saying the words giving birth. Labour.
Whoa. I remember.
But don't worry.
So, you know Leonie, who was our first episode, our geriatric mum?
Yeah.
I remember her saying to me, so she's given me, which by the way, all of my friends have been amazing. They've given me so many books and maternity clothes and the ball thingies that you have to bounce on and all sorts.
I have more for you. You're going to have multiple of these things.
Leonie gave me this book and she was like, honestly, it's amazing. When I was pregnant with Freddie, her first, she was like, it was the best thing ever. But she said, the problem was I would only want to read up to the point of pregnancy where I was. So for example, like each chapter is maybe like, here's what happens when you're 14 weeks, here's what happens when you're 16 weeks, etc. And so she hadn't read childbirth. She hadn't read anything about childbirth. I don't know if she'd been to antenatal class or what, but when it actually happened, she was really like, but I've not read that bit in the book. I don't know what's supposed to happen here. I don't know what to do. What's happening? I haven't read that far ahead. So she was like, that was her tip to me, was like, make sure you actually read that far ahead. So that you
do
know
you,
what
do
you're
you
letting yourself
any
in
of,
for.
Do you watch any of the programmes? Like One Born Every Minute?
Yeah, but that's not been on for ages, has it?
No, but did you used to watch
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what you need to watch, don't you? Emma Willis delivering babies.
Oh, yeah.
A, because Emma Willis is just an absolute legend. And I love her so much.
True.
Like, literally, if she was my midwife, it'd be the best thing ever.
True.
It's so good. And I felt quite a lot more prepared because I watched that throughout pregnancy as well. Yeah, and you saw every possible outcome with that as well.
Well, my lovely friend Lorraine is a doula and she's sending me, she's texted me the other day saying she's going to send me an array of different birth videos so that I can get an idea of what different births look like, the good, the bad and the ugly. So I have got that to look forward to as well.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How exciting. But I think the long and short of it, like I remember them saying to me, oh, have you got a birth plan, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, and actually I don't really want to make a birth plan because I know from watching and reading and all of that stuff that it never goes exactly how you want it or expect it to. So just be prepared for every eventuality. I think that's the best.
Here's my birth plan. Get the baby out. My plan is this.
Just
get it out.
Get the baby out.
Get it out.
Yeah.
But I haven't got that far ahead in my books yet, so I've not been able to make, these educated decisions about do I want this, do I want that, do I want the other.
Don't overdo it with all the books and stuff either, because, like, I think you can read too much.
Yeah.
Oh, so excited for you. How has pregnancy been so far?
I'm not going to lie, right? And I feel kind of bad saying this because I know how, particularly from the last series, which we'll kind of talk about a bit more in a bit, but I kind of feel bad saying this because I know how desperately some people want to be pregnant, but it's shit. Like, I hate it.
And I'm sorry to laugh. Like, I don't mean to laugh, but I felt exactly the same.
Honestly.
And I wanted to be pregnant for forever.
But this is the weird thing, right? I don't feel like anyone tells you really, really that it's this awful. I mean, obviously I knew how poorly you were, but again, you're quite a sicky person. So I just thought, oh, Camilla's a sicky person. I'm not a sicky person, so I'll be okay. And I haven't been sick, but God, I feel permanently nauseous. It's like a constant hangover without any of the fun, and I feel like a minger. I feel like I look rough as anything the whole time. Oh my God, the constipation, right? Sorry if this is too much information, by the way, but I do feel like you need to talk about these things. I swear to God, right? Does this happen so you know how much you need to bear down during childbirth?
Probably.
I don't even think I'll need to bear down as hard during childbirth.
I beg to differ.
Jokes. So yes, I felt rough, but also early on, and I'm definitely feeling a bit better about it now, but particularly at the start, the FOMO that I had, and not just I'm really gutted, everyone's going out and having a great time. I felt so isolated and alone in all of the things that I was feeling. I felt really poorly. I felt like I couldn't go and do anything. I felt like all of the things that I did in my life that I loved and enjoyed, and they bought me that kind of escape from my anxiety and my escape from work and everything like that, I couldn't do them anymore. I couldn't go to hot yoga. I couldn't drink, which everyone said to me, oh, you won't want to drink when you're pregnant. You'll go off it. Fuck off. I have been craving wine like you would not believe. Like, honestly. Craving it, especially on lockdown. All I'm seeing on Instagram and Facebook every night is people like, oh, cheers, let's get through lockdown with more drinks. I'm like, damn you.
Yeah, but to be fair, I feel like I'm probably not a good person to have this conversation with, because I had a really rough pregnancy at the beginning too. But I think you're saying, oh, people didn't tell me, but I think a lot of people do have it quite a bit easier than perhaps, God, that sounds really bad, but than me and you.
Maybe.
Had it,
yeah.
Or have had it.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do anything. I didn't have the energy to do anything.
But do you know what
I wanted to do?
Did you feel like, I felt like I didn't know who I was anymore, because I wasn't doing all the things that I like doing. So I had a bit of an identity crisis of like,
yeah,
I don't know who I am. And like, I remember saying to Dan, like, I don't know where the joy is in my life. I feel like there is no joy or happiness in my life. And I actually Googled, have I got antenatal depression? Because I felt just shit. Like, I felt really... Yeah. Not really unhappy. And also, nobody told me, and I think I've said this to you before, and this is the point where, because our mums and dads, so our mum and dad and Dan's parents listen to this, so this is the point where I would probably like them to just walk away and go and get a cup of tea or something. Nobody told me that you can potentially get really awful, crippling pain after orgasm.
See, I didn't know this either until you told me.
Holy, I was like, what the friggin' hell is happening here? This is it, like excruciating, like the worst period pains of your life for about 20 minutes afterwards, to the point where like the pain was so bad that I thought I was going to be sick. So I was like, you've taken my hot yoga, you've taken my wine, and now you're doing this to me after an orgasm. Come on. Come on.
I mean, to be honest, like at the beginning for me, I wouldn't have had the energy for an orgasm anyway. I was so dead. Even the things that I could do, like singing, I just didn't have the energy to get up and sing. So yeah. I felt exactly the same as you with the identity crisis, feeling utterly miserable, and then also beating myself up because it was like, you wanted this.
Yeah.
Here you are, And yeah, so you always have like that guilt as well.
Yeah, see, I...
Why?
I was doing a bit of a, did I want this? Am I ready? I don't think, I thought it was going to take longer than this. Oh my God. But that was another thing. I felt guilty. So I did a whole podcast about the fact that you shouldn't be asking people, you know, oh, are you pregnant yet? Or, oh, are you trying? Or whatever the questions are, because you do not know what somebody is going through and you don't know how long it's going to take to get pregnant. And you could, you know, you could be asking that question and people have been trying for such a long time. You might have to go through IVF. And because I'm a bit older, I really thought it wouldn't be straightforward. And of course, I came off the pill at the end of earlier than this, but we stopped being careful, in inverted commas. We stopped being careful at the end of November, and by the end of January, I was pregnant. So, yeah. But I felt guilty. I felt like that I didn't deserve it. I felt like I have interviewed all these people on the podcast who have fought tooth and nail, spent thousands upon thousands of pounds trying to have a baby and trying to fulfill this dream of having a baby, which I'm like, I feel like I didn't even have. So for me to get pregnant that easily, I felt real genuine guilt and sadness. Yeah. And like that is, I felt like it was not fair that that had happened to me, knowing what other people had gone through.
Yeah. And I know you found that really hard as well, because you got in touch with me about it and I felt really bad for you as well, because it's like supposed to be a happy time, but you're feeling rough and you're feeling guilty because of those lovely women that you've been speaking to and men that have had such rough journeys with it.
Yeah.
And I know it really upset you.
Well, so basically, I was due, and her interview will happen on season two happens. Her interview is coming up, which, oh God, I hope it happens soon. But there is a brilliant woman called Caroline who I had spoken to before as part of a radio interview that I'd done. And I'd said to her, please, will you come on the podcast and talk to me? She'd had 9 years worth of trying for a baby, had a lot of IVF, had two embryos still in the freezer, but had decided enough is enough, that's the end of our journey now. So I knew that I was about to go and interview her, knowing that I was pregnant and had fallen pregnant really easily. And I thought, God, that's awful. So I remember it took me ages to craft this message to send to her, to just say, I don't want to make you upset. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. If you don't want to do the interview, you don't have to. But I wanted to let you know that I am pregnant. It's still under wraps at the minute, but I just didn't want to come and not have told you and at least give you the option to bail out on the interview if that is difficult for you. And oh my God, she sent me the loveliest message back, and again I bawled my eyes out, because that's another thing, God, I'm bawling my eyes out all the time. But I did feel real just horrible guilt about it.
It is hard. I felt the same,
but that's why I feel bad moaning about it. But honestly, it's not a fun time. Being pregnant,
you're nearly out of the really for me, the toughest bit. You're nearly out of that.
I want the glowing bit. I want the bit where I'm glowing.
I mean, I'm not sure I ever really got to that point.
Cheers to the vote of confidence.
I don't think I really was glowing at all. But when you get to the stage where you're like, oh my God, like, I don't feel sick, I can eat, I can walk around and enjoy it. Just enjoy that bit, because then when you get to the next bit...
The whale stage.
The whale stage. Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll take the whale stage over the sickie stage any day of the week.
True. Okay. Do you think...
Question.
Oh, go.
Have you been called a geriatric mum yet?
No, not once.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think people are scared of saying it?
No, because I think maybe they've realised that it's fair. It's relatively offensive, and so maybe they just say it behind your back rather than to your face.
Just before you go in the room, we've got a geriatric coming, and don't mention the G word.
Yeah. Although when the woman was doing my scan the other day, she was talking about how desperate she was to get ahead, and I was thinking, is this because you're looking at how bad my grey roots are? Because it's been like 9 weeks since I had my hair dyed.
Oh, well, I don't think you look geriatric, so unless they're actually fully reading the notes before you go in, they wouldn't have even known. You're youthful, darling.
Oh my God, I really don't feel it at the minute, but thanks for saying that.
Oh, and also, second question, which I already know the answer to, but for everyone at home, is it twins?
No, and I was really annoyed. I was hoping they were going to find another baby hiding behind the other baby, but they did not. It's only one baby. And I also am worried that I've jinxed myself, because if I do potentially go through all this, despite moaning about how shit this is at the minute, by the way, if I do go through all this and decide, oh, okay, let's do it again, let's have another one, imagine if it's twins second time.
Right, I'm going to ask you, and this will be recorded for the podcast, like 2 months after you've had this baby, I'm going to say, Naomi, do you still want twins? And we will play this clip, and we will play the clip of what you say.
Okay, but listen.
We shall see.
Listen, right, look at the lockdown situation. Homeschooling, much easier if you've got twins and they're both on the same educational page.
There is that.
Yep.
There is that.
Yep, yep. There's a plus point in the twins category. Anyway, it's not twins. Sadly, it is not twins. It's one dancing baby in there.
Oh, it's a lovely little dancing baby.
Yeah.
I would just like to take this opportunity on behalf of all of the To Baby or Not To Baby fam, the majority of which told you to baby.
Yes.
Congratulations. I know you feel like shit. And yeah, you probably do look a bit shitter than usual. But this is going to be amazing, and I'm so excited, and I'm also quite emotional about it as well.
Aww.
And no, I am. Oh God, I'm also on my period, so it's even worse. Yeah, think yourself lucky you've not got some of those for a while. No, but honestly, I'm so excited for you. You're going to be the best mom, and I'm so glad everything has gone okay for you, because you might have that guilt, but people are pleased for you, sis. Like, I want you to know that. And I love you loads.
Aww.
And I miss you so much in lockdown. Oh, I just want to hug you.
Thanks. I love you and I miss you. And I just want to hug you as well. It's not the same recording it in a wardrobe.
Yeah, shall we tell everyone we're both in the wardrobe?
We're both in the wardrobe. So I'm in my wardrobe at home. And which, by the way, I'm still living with the parents, me and Dan, in lockdown with the parents. Ugh, intense. Meanwhile, Camilla is in her wardrobe at home as we record this podcast. This is dedication, guys.
But actually, you would think it was Naomi's wardrobe that I'm looking at, because most of my clothes are hand-me-downs from Naomi.
You're welcome. Now give me the maternity stuff.
Yeah, I've got a few bits for you. Maternity leggings are the best. In fact, I still wear mine now.
Season 2 will hopefully be coming soon. But in the meantime, please follow my journey and tell us about your own on social media at To Baby or Not, which I've just realised I can actually post things now about being pregnant. Ugh!
And I want to post things too.
And also, if you rate and review this podcast, not only will it hugely help us out, but it will guarantee that you won't look and feel like total ass through the first trimester, which, God, I feel like total ass right now. Season 2 coming soon. Here's a little taster.
All I thought is, I'm doing it in the reverse order. I thought I'm going to have a baby first because that's got a time limit, and then I'm going to meet a guy because that hasn't got a time limit. Some people may not want to date me because I've got a child, but then I also wouldn't want to date them if that's their view. So I didn't think it would make it more difficult, and actually I don't think it has made it more difficult.
There are no unwanted kids to same-sex parents, because they're wanted, they're loved, they're cared for. The journey, and financially and mentally and physically, is immense.
And yeah. You know, when I talk about, you know, the financial pressures it put on our relationship, that's why, because, you know, we've got to work really hard to maintain that, you know. And once you are pregnant, you're also responsible for your surrogate, because you've got to maintain the agreed amounts that you said that you would pay them monthly. And, you know, you in some respects, you're responsible for another family.
I don't feel a gap. I don't feel a space in my life. I feel really that life as it is really lovely with the two of us. And the only time I really think about those embryos is when I think of that fear of, what if I look back and I think, why did I not go back and try? But here and now, at this point, I know that the right thing for us to do is to really kind of carry on embracing the life we've got.
She was born, we were all there, and they held her up, and oh, that moment is just magic on so many levels. For me, it was that this baby is born, you know, she was born 5 years after she was created as an embryo, and her parents had been through so much, and this woman who was once a stranger nurtured her, grew her, gave her life. and then she was in my arms as if that was where she belonged.